Thank you, Dad. Thank you for that introduction. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads in the room. Yeah, welcome to my classroom. I teach second grade here at ICA, but I've also taught fourth grade in Chengdu, China, and I taught fifth grade for many years in Everett. And today I invited the kids to stay. No kids' church today. That's why you're not being dismissed to the lunchroom. We're going to have church here together, family church today. And we've got some we're going to talk about the story of Jonah. We've got some special activities. But before I tell you the real story from the Bible, my friends are going to tell you a silly story about Jonah. So come on out. Thanks, guys. Thanks, George and Helen. One more round of applause for them. Everything is wet up here. Okay. So I want to start with our big idea. This morning's big idea is, it is better to obey. I want you to say it with me. I'm going to say it is better, and you're going to say to obey. One more time. It is better
to obey.
You got it. Okay, that's the big idea. In second grade, we read a lot of Aesop's fables. And in Aesop's fables, there's these animals, right? And some of the animals are courageous, they've got ingenuity, they're doing the right thing. And some of the animals are vain and foolish and selfish. And we talk about there's always a lesson for the kids in the Aesop's fables. Sometimes the lesson is the animal is the example. Do what I do. Be like this. And sometimes the animal is the anti-example, right? Do not do what I did. Do not be like that animal. And the story of Jonah in the Bible falls into that latter category. Jonah himself is traditionally recognized as the author of the book. That means Jonah wrote his story for us. And we can hear his message to us. Don't be like I was. Don't do what I did. You can do it better. I had to learn it the hard way in the belly of a fish. You can learn it from my story. And so I think that's what part of what Jonah wants to share with us. So let's look at the story of Jonah in the Bible, starting with Jonah 1, 1 and 2. We're reading out of the International Children's Bible. The Lord spoke his word to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. I see the evil things they do. So Jonah was a prophet in the kingdom of Israel. And this was a time after King Saul, after King David, after his son Solomon. Solomon's sons kind of had a fight over who was going to be king. And after that, there was this big split, like a civil war, like a split in the nation. The southern kingdom of Judah, just a couple tribes, they had Jerusalem as their capital. The northern kingdom was the bigger, 10 tribes, but they had Samaria as their capital. And that's where Jonah was living, in Galilee. You know, from the stories of Jesus's life, we hear a lot about the region of Galilee. And Jonah was from a city called Gath-Hepher there in the region of Galilee. And he was a prophet to this northern kingdom. He had given a prophecy before. In another book, 2 Kings chapter 14, we hear about another prophecy that he had given. That time he was sent to the king of Israel. It was King Jeroboam. And Jonah was sent to him to tell them, you're going to have this conflict and you're going to win back the borderlands that had formerly been lost. So formerly they had had a war, their borderlands had been taken over, now they're going to win back this land. So the king of Israel was really excited to get this great news, right? And they went into the conflict and it came true. The prophecy was fulfilled. They won back all those borderlands. So that's the first time that we know about from scripture of Jonah doing this job of a prophet. The job of the prophet is to speak God's message to whoever he sends him to, right? Usually to God's people. Like there was prophets in the southern kingdom of Judah and they were preaching to that king and to that land. Now the northern kingdom, maybe he was more used to preaching to the king of Israel or the people of Israel, but this time God sent him to Nineveh, an enemy city. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. This was an empire on the rise. That means they were expanding. They were taking over surrounding kingdoms and peoples. Remember, an empire is a kingdom that expands and takes over other people's kingdoms until the one king or the one leadership is ruling a lot of different peoples. And that's what the Assyrians were trying to do. They were known for being very fierce, very violent people. And they're kind of a neighbor to Israel. So the Israelites were afraid of them. You have a map on your table, and if you have kids at your table, maybe you can help them to read this map. You find point A, that's Gath Hefer. This is Jonah's hometown. And you find point B, that's Nineveh. That's where God sent him to. Okay? Now, Jonah 1:3 says, but Jonah got up to run away from the Lord. He went to the city of Joppa. Do you see Joppa? Right by, kind of by Gath Hefer there, but on the seashore, right? It was a dock city, a port city. There he found a ship that was going to Tarshish. Find point C. Yeah. Jonah paid for the trip and went aboard. He wanted to go to Tarshish to run away from the Lord. So we see Jonah was told to go east to Nineveh. He went west to Tarshish. Tarshish, we know it was a Phoenician trade city. We don't know exactly where it was. That's why there's a question mark. Maybe it was in Spain. A lot of Bible scholars guess it was in Spain. It could have been somewhere else on the Mediterranean, like Italy. Some imaginative scholars say, oh, maybe it was down in Africa. Maybe it was up in the British Isles. Really, the point here is that he went the opposite direction of his calling and that he went as far away as he could. He's trying to go far away. Okay. In the silly skit that we just watched, Jonah's mom told him, go and take this message to his neighbor, Nineveh. Did he obey? No. He went to the docks and he went fishing and he fell in the water. In the Bible, Jonah tells us that God sent him to preach to Nineveh. Did he go? No. He went to the port city of Joppa. He found a ship to sail away. He did not want to obey, so he went the opposite direction. You probably remember the rest of the Jonah story from Children's Church. When he's on the ship, a great storm arises, and the sailors are all panicking. The captain is panicking. They're throwing overboard all their cargo. They're trying to appeal to all their idols and their false gods to save them. They're doing everything they can. They're frantic. Jonah's asleep in the bottom of the boat. And finally they realize, we gotta wake this guy up. Maybe he has a clue. And when they wake him up and they ask him, you know, what can you do? Can you pray to your God? Where are you from? What God do you have? Maybe he can help us. And Jonah knows exactly. He says, yeah, I'm an Israelite. We worship the God of heaven and earth, the creator God, the one true God. And he's the one who sent the storm. And Jonah tells them what they have to do is throw him overboard to calm the sea. And they don't wanna do that. But they're desperate, and they do. They throw him into the water, and Jonah almost drowns until God sends a great fish to swallow him, to rescue him. That's the salvation, the agent of his salvation, this great fish. And it does save him and spits him out on the beach and provides Jonah with a second chance to obey. And Jonah does, right? This time, he's had a change of heart. Through the storm and the fish, he's had a change of heart, and he's ready to obey. And so he goes to Nineveh, and he preaches the message to the Ninevites. And this message is not really good news. His message is, 40 more days, your city is going to be destroyed. But the people of Nineveh believed God's message, and they repented. Repentance is the Bible word for having a change of heart, turning around from your sin to God's way. And that's what it says in Jonah, that the people of Nineveh repented, and so they showed their change of heart with their actions. They put on rough clothes. They stopped eating food. They even put the rough clothes on their animals, like their cows were wearing the sackcloth to show the whole city is repentant. And God saw that repentance, that change of heart, what the people had done, and he did not destroy the city as he had warned. He changed from that path of destruction. He did not punish them because they listened. They listened to the message and they repented. Because that king of Nineveh and all the people turned to God, Jonah's bad news turned out to be good news, right? Jonah had a second chance to obey because God saved him with the great fish. The people of Nineveh had a second chance to obey because of Jonah's message. So, what was our big idea again? One more time. It is better
to obey.
Good. Now, I want to talk to you about Jonah's first choice. When God first told him, go to Nineveh, he decided to go to Joppa, right? He had a direct instruction from God, go preach to Nineveh. But at first, he did not want to obey, so he did the opposite. It reminded me of the first time that I remember choosing not to obey my mom. I was about 3 or 4 years old, and I had a pet cat, and I really loved my pet cat. His name was Sunshine Brown. I do not know why he's named him that. Seems like a weird name, right? Sunshine Brown. But I think he had yellow and brown in his fur, so maybe that's why he was called Sunshine Brown. I had a good idea. I wanted to take my cat for a walk. Other people take their dog for a walk, right? I was going to take my cat for a walk. So I got a rope, and I wanted to tie it around the cat's neck and take it for a walk. Sound like a good idea. So I mentioned this great idea to my mom, and my mom said, no, Amy, no. Cats do not like to have things around their neck, and that's not even a collar or a harness or a real leash. Cats don't like that. Don't do that to your cat. Don't do that. I said, okay. And I went outside, and Mom went inside to wash the dishes, and I got my rope, and I tied it around the cat's neck, and I tried to take it for a walk. He didn't like it. So I gave up. I took it off, and I went back inside, and my mom said, Amy, did you put the rope around the cat's neck? And I said, no, Mom, no, you told me not to. I didn't do that. And she said, Amy, when I wash the dishes, I can look out the kitchen window and see what you're doing. So I was in big trouble. I was in double trouble, right? Double trouble, once for disobeying and another time for lying. So, how about you? Do you have a story? A time when you had a clear instruction, but you wanted to do something different. It's time for some table talk. I want one or two people at your table to share a story you want to share about a time when you disobeyed. How did it end up for you? What happened? How did it go? Or maybe you want to tell a different story. Tell the story of a time when you really didn't want to obey, but you did it anyway. And what happened with that? We got about 5 minutes. Should be time for one or two to tell at each table. Be brave. Tell your story. All right. Sorry to cut you off. There was a lot of stories. Some families are sitting together, and so this was kind of like a confession where kids were telling things their parents didn't know. I heard some silly stories, some funny stories. There's something about a girlfriend, something about a BB gun and a rake and a snake, all kinds of some sad stories, right? Times when we didn't obey and it made a big difference. A lot of stories around the room. Thank you for sharing. But from these stories, silly or sad, we can tell, right? We can tell. It is better. Okay. When we are kids, we think, I can't wait to be a grown-up. When I'm a grown-up, I'll be able to do whatever I want. And then we get to be grown-ups, and we think, man, I miss being a kid. When you're a kid, you get to do whatever you want. But the truth is, here's the truth. As God's people, none of us get to do whatever we want. Everyone has someone to obey. Kids obey their parents. Grown-ups obey the word of God. We've got a couple scriptures about this. In the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. And part of that letter, he talks right to the kids. Here's what he said to the kids in the church of Ephesus. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. That's actually a quote. Paul's quoting God's commands that he gave back in the time of Moses, right? Honor your father and mother. Our instruction is to obey our parents and to honor them. That means treating them with respect. Respect is something we talk about a lot at school, in the classroom, but sometimes we forget to respect each other at home. It's so important at home, too. Today is a great day to show love and respect and honor to your dad, right? Hopefully this week we can show them a little extra love. But it's not just for Father's Day. It's for every day. This is our command, kids. This is what the Word of God tells us. Kids who are followers of Jesus need to obey their parents in the Lord. They need to treat their moms and dads with love and respect. All right. Now, for everyone in the room, Jesus said to his disciples, John 14:21, "He who knows my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me." He who knows my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me. And my Father will love him who loves me, and I will love him, and I will show myself to him. So God loves us first through Jesus, right? Jesus loves us, and we love him back. How do we love him back? Knowing his word, obeying his word. Exactly. It is better? Exactly. Yes. So grown-ups, our job is to know Jesus' commands and to obey them. As Christian families, our job is to work together to obey the Lord. So, if God's people are supposed to obey God, why don't we? Why don't kids always obey their parents? Why didn't Jonah obey the word of God? All of us, as we're moving through life, come to choices. And the choice is this time when you know what God wants you to do. Let me put it this way. You know the right thing to do, but you really want to do something else. And here's this choice point. You know what you're supposed to do, but you feel like the other thing is a good idea. And you have to confront this choice. So let's pretend that you smell a smell in the kitchen. And it smells like, yep, chocolate chip cookies. And you see a big plate on the counter, chocolate chip cookies, mom's chocolate chip cookies, the best chocolate chip cookies. These ones actually aren't mom's chocolate, these are the youth group cookies, which are the second best cookies. Okay, so a big plate of cookies, right? And you say, "Mom, can I have one of those cookies?" And she says, "No. Those are for Dad's meeting tomorrow. You can't have any of the cookies." And then she says, "Okay, I'm going to go out and work in the garden." And you go play, right? And Mom goes out to the garden. Laura, can you put up the slide with them? Yep, that one. Perfect. Mom's going out to the garden, and you're left in the house with the chocolate chip cookies. Now you have a choice, right? You know what you should do. What you should do is not eat the cookies. Mom said, no, you should obey. But the cookies smell so good. You know how yummy they are. Maybe she won't notice. It's a big plate of cookies. There's a lot. Maybe she won't even notice, right? Okay, so you want to eat the cookie. When you eat the cookie, you are making yourself the boss, the king, or the queen, right? Or the princess. You say, no one's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I want a cookie. I'm going to eat a cookie. And it's going to make me happy, and it's going to be so yummy. Cookies are yummy, right? We feel happy when we eat them. Yeah. If we decide not to eat the cookie, no cookie. We're hungry. We're smelling that. It's driving us crazy. we're not happy. So are we going to make the choice that makes us happy or unhappy? To a human sensibility, it kind of seems obvious. Do the thing that makes you happy, right? You can be the boss of you. But as God's people, if we are Jesus followers, we need to choose to make Jesus the king. When we make Jesus the king, that's making that harder choice that doesn't feel so fun. But what happens afterward? The choice isn't the end. The choice starts the path. Do you see those arrows going out from each side? Each choice starts you on a different path. Pleasing myself leads to trouble. The Bible word for this is sin. When we do what feels good to us instead of following God's way, that is sin. And it always leads to trouble in the end. Sometimes obvious troubles, sometimes hidden troubles, but it always sets us on that path towards trouble. Okay, in our cookie story, maybe we get caught, right? You get caught cookie-handed when you have that chocolate all over you and mom knows you've been in the cookies. And maybe she will say, that's it, no sweets and treats for the rest of the week because you did not obey, right? Oh man, it leads to trouble. In my story, taking my cat for a walk on the leash, right? It led to trouble. Immediate trouble for the cat, poor cat, and then double trouble for me, right? Because my choice led to actually another sin of lying to my mom because I came to another choice point. Am I going to tell her the truth and get in trouble, or am I going to lie and try and get out of the trouble, right? And then it led to double trouble because, yeah. Now, the other choice, the hard choice, the no cookie choice, actually leads to the blessing in the end. Obeying God always leads to blessing in the end. Sometimes the blessings are obvious, and sometimes they are hidden. So in this story, maybe dad's going to bring home half the cookies because the meeting really doesn't need that many cookies, and you'll have plenty tomorrow. Maybe mom's going to come back from the garden, and she's going to, I'm proud of you for not eating these cookies. You know what? Let's make a whole new batch for us to enjoy together as a family. Maybe the blessing isn't cookie related at all, right? Maybe the blessing is that your mom and dad will see how much they can trust you and you'll have more privileges in your family. We've been talking about trust a lot at church the last few months. It's so important that a family can trust each other. And an important way for kids to add trust in the family, obey your parents. Then they know they can count on you. And your family will be able to work together as a team. Sometimes the blessing is for others too, right? If dad has enough cookies for everyone at the meeting, that's a blessing to all of those people. When Jonah went to Nineveh, actually the blessing doesn't seem like it was for him. His obedience blessed a whole city. Tens of thousands of people and even their animals were blessed through Jonah's obedience. The Bible promises us that pleasing God always leads to blessing in the end. Sometimes the blessing is not a reward now in our life, but instead it's what the Bible might call a heavenly blessing, a heavenly reward. Remember what Jesus told us? We're storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. That means sometimes the blessing is something invisible, something spiritual we maybe don't even know, but we trust from the word of God, the promise is that the obedience always leads to blessings in the end. Please enjoy some cookies now. Pastor Daryl told me I was supposed to check with you. Did anybody already eat one? Like in spite of the little car? No. Please enjoy the cookies as I review what we've been talking about. My little boy is up here trying to get two. He's like, there's extras at our table. Okay, so all morning we've been seeing that it is better to obey. Oh, you got mouse full of cookies. It is better to obey. Yes. We talked about the story of Jonah. He chose to run away from God, and his trouble came in the form of a deadly storm. But God used the big fish to give him a second chance. And after he got spit out on the beach, he chose to obey. Right? It would have which saved the whole city of people and animals. I shared with you my story about walking my cat on the leash. I chose to do what I thought would be more fun, but it ended up in trouble for my cat and for me. It would have been better to obey. You listen to stories at your table, and a lot of those stories, I know that it was a lesson, right? You disobeyed, and it would have been better. It is better to obey. Now, we've talked about using the Y chart to think about the path that our choices put us on, and we saw that the path of obedience might be hard. It started out with a frowny face, but in the end, it leads to blessing. So, Rocky and I are the youth pastors here on Wednesday night, and almost every week he ends the lesson with, here's your homework. So here's your homework. Ready? Kids, your homework is to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. To honor your father and your mother. That means treating your mom and dad with love and respect. Parents, if we still have kids in our home, our homework, if they're going to honor, respect, and obey us, we have to give them clear, consistent, godly instructions to obey, right? That's our homework. And everyone, young and old, everyone, if we are going to be Jesus followers, here's our homework. Obey our loving Father. Study the Word of God. Jesus said, he who knows my commands and obeys them. We got to study the Word of God so that we know those commands and we can choose to obey them. As families, we can make up our hearts ahead of time. We are going to be the family who follows the Word of God. We're going to be the family who makes the hard choices and obeys. Remember, we have that example from Joshua where he called on all the Israelites, choose today. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? That's an example to each of our families. We can decide together, make up our hearts. Before we even get to that choice point, make up our hearts. We are going to go God's way. And that applies to individuals as well as families. Make the hard choice that leads to blessings. It is better.
Glory.
Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good father to us, a loving dad, that you are patient, that you give us second chances and third chances and fourth chances, and you are so gracious to us. Thank you for your grace in our lives. Thank you for this path of obedience that you call us to, and we pray that you'll seal this word in each of our hearts, in each of our families, that we will know your word and follow your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Amy. Didn't she do good? And just to drill it home for just a second, you know, some of you have been wrestling with something that maybe you need to do, something that doesn't, in your mind, is not the fun thing to do. It's not the, you know, it would be actually even maybe the easier thing to do. But even as Amy was teaching, I bet some of us in this room wrestling with just the reality that, okay, I'm getting your message, God. I'm getting your message. You got this thing you have to do, whatever that may happen to be. And you know what it is. You know, if you've been wrestling with the Lord about something, you know what that is. And you just have to make the decision to do it. Amen. Amen.